Today we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 28, entitled Puranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life, Text Number 64.
Evam samanaso hamso hamsena pratibodhita svasthasthyadvyabhicharena Nastamapa punasmritim.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation: in this way, both swans live together in the heart. When the one swan is instructed by the other, he is situated in his constitutional position. This means he regains his original Krishna consciousness, which was lost because of his material attraction. Purport: here it is clearly stated, Hamso Hamsena Pratibodhitaha. The individual soul and the super soul are both compared to swans because they are white or uncontaminated. One swan, however, is superior and is the instructor of the other. When the inferior swan is separated from the other swan, he is attracted to material enjoyment. This is the cause of his fall down. When he hears the instructions of the other swan, he understands his real position and is again revived to his original consciousness. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna comes down to deliver his devotees and kill the demons. He also gives his sublime instructions in the form of Bhagavad Gita. The individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualifications. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from a realized soul.
Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatvadarshinah.
Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Thus, one has to select a bona fide spiritual master and become enlightened to his original consciousness. In this way, the individual soul can understand that he is always subordinate to the super soul. As soon as he declines to remain subordinate and tries to become an enjoyer, he begins his material conditioning. When he abandons the spirit of being an individual owner or enjoyer, he becomes situated in his liberated state. The word swastha, meaning situated in one's original position, is very significant in this verse. When one gives up this unwanted attitude of superiority, he becomes situated in his original position. The word tadvyabhicharena is also significant, for it indicates that when one is separated from God due to disobedience, his real sense is lost. Again, by the grace of Krishna and Guru, he can be properly situated in his liberated position. These verses are spoken by Srila Narad Muni, and his purpose in speaking them is to revive our consciousness. Although the living entity and the super soul are one in quality, the individual soul has to pursue the instruction of the super soul. That is the state of liberation. We are nearing the conclusion of this chapter entitled Puranjan Becomes a Woman in the Next Life, and here we see Narad Muni is now revealing the original purpose of describing this allegorical story to King Prachinibarishad. As Narad Muni explaining that this Brahmana coming and consoling the wife of King Malaya Dwaj was King Purajan in his previous life, his Srila Prabhupada clearly mentions that these verses are spoken by Srila Narad Muni, and his purpose in speaking them is to revive our consciousness. So, as once in his class, Radha Gopinath Prabhu mentioned that sometimes we preach to the devotees and also the people outside whom we encounter, and when we speak to them about this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is as much as this philosophy is important and significant for them, it is more so for our own spiritual lives. So here, rather than understanding in that sense that this is being spoken to King Puranjan, King Prachini Barishad, we may rather put ourselves in that position. Then it will be exactly like Narad Muni instructing us in the matter of self-realization. So today's verse, Srila Narad Muni is explaining that there is a soul and there is a super soul within the region of the heart of every living entity, and only when once the soul turns towards the super soul, then only the super soul instructs, and by this instruction the living entity regains his original consciousness, which was lost due to material attraction. So we shall try to explain this verse in light of Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the following step, we shall see first that how living entity is attracted to this material conditioning, material attraction, the cause of his fall down, how one can protect oneself from falling down again even after taking to the spiritual life, the importance of being subordinate to the Supreme Lord, and understanding this subordinate position only by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, as a result of which one will revive one original consciousness, that is Krishna consciousness. So once in 1969 in Boston, Srila Prabhupada was asked by one guest, why is the material world here? So Srila Prabhupada answered this question in a counteracting way. He asked, why is the cloud here? Prabhupada elaborated, because there is need of rain, there is cloud. And because there is a need of creation of this material existence, this material existence is present. Simple as that. Just as from the sky comes cloud, from the cloud comes rain, and from the rain comes vegetation. But in due course of time, the vegetation is finished, the rain is no longer there, the cloud is also disappeared, but only the sky remains. Similarly, this material existence is temporary, and the only reality is the spiritual existence. So this opportunity for the creation of material existence is given for the fallen living entities to go home back to the permanent realm, that is the spiritual kingdom. So the living entity being separated from the Lord, being attracted by material attraction, is the cause of fall down. So what is this fall down exactly? It is a state of consciousness where one tries to lord it over the material nature, trying to compete with the Supreme Lord in his position of being the supreme enjoyer. And then, to explain this graphically, this is the pastime of Indra sending rains in the village of Vrindavan Dham. Knowing Krishna to be the supreme personality of Godhead, but due to being in the false conception of being the enjoyer, thinking himself that he will be bereft of the benefit of the sacrifices that were to be made to him, Indra forgot his position and tried to lord it over what we call material nature, the same realm where Sri Krishna was personally present. And we see another example when Indra tried to distract the meditation and the tapasya of Nar Narayan Rishis, thinking them by their meditation they will become powerful enough to usurp his heavenly kingdom, and then try to send damsels to distract their meditation, not knowing that the Supreme Lord is Atmaram, self-satisfied. He does not require any kind of enjoyment outside him. So in these two cases, Indra became overwhelmed with the tendency of enjoying falsely the material nature, and therefore that was the cause of his fall down. Secondly, when we come to Krishna consciousness, the first offense that we hear is that not to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives for propagating the holy names of the Lord. It means that the mad elephant offense, Vaishnava Aparad, even after coming to Krishna consciousness and being in the moment, one has to be equally careful. In fact, one has to become more careful. Just to narrate a graphical illustration of this, we were all in a trip yesterday, one trekking to a very high mountain peak, led by His Grace Madan Gopal Prabhu, near our Sri Govardhan farm. And then as we were trekking up there, there were some pathways wherein the valley was just right to your path, and the path itself was filled with small stones, dry sand. In order to keep a very balanced foothold, one need to put the foot on a solid rock. But because of this coarse grain sand, it would be very difficult if one was not careful. And if one is not careful, then one might slip. And when one slips, one loses his balance, not knowing where he is going. Similarly, in spiritual life, it's like valley on the right side. And any time we are inattentive or careless, thinking it to be a routine path, even you might be a routine trekker, still you can't be very confident of yourself. And we understand that in the pastime of Narsingdev killing Hiranyakashipu, the Lord was witnessing all the injustice made by Hiranyakashipu towards his devotee Prahlad. And only after enough offenses that Hiranyakashipu had committed against his devotee Prahlad, that Narsingdev appeared specifically to destroy and annihilate the existence of Hiranyakashipu. The second case we see graphically is that case of Ambarish Maharaj being vilified by Durvas Muni, and the Lord sent his disc, and even by petitioning towards the Supreme Lord for forgiveness, he could not overcome this great offense. So this is another cause of fall down back into the material existence. Thirdly, even when in Krishna consciousness, on the pretext of preaching, there is a tendency of false compassion. The preaching is meant to elevate oneself or the others from the material platform to the spiritual platform. And when one loses track of this principle, then one develops false compassion due to being attracted in a material way. This example is given in the case of Maharaj Bharat. Though he was engaged in process of meditating upon the Supreme Lord in a secluded place, still, because of his false compassion towards the deer, he again became entangled and he had to take another two lives. So false compassion is another cause of fall down into this material existence. And Srila Prabhupada gives the fourth reason, which is very significant for a devotee, and it is very easy to relate in day-to-day devotional activities, and that is neglect of regulative principles. Srila Prabhupada mentions, and once Srila Prabhupada was asked by Yogeshwar Prabhu, "Prabhupada, you are not always present here with the devotees, with your disciples, and you are always traveling. How is that your disciple can strike a personal relationship with you as the spiritual master?" Srila Prabhupada explained, what you speak of having a personal relationship with the spiritual master, the first question I'm asking is that, are you chanting your 16 rounds daily and following all the regulative principles? First, a disciple relationship with the spiritual master is following his basic instructions. And he must follow those basic instructions. And only then there is a question of having a deeper relationship. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned so many cases where we could deviate from the regulative principles. And he says that if the neophyte devotee or the devotee in sadhaka does not follow the process of having or eating or honoring only Krishna Prasadam and goes to restaurants and eats, then there is a chance for deviation. If he accumulates money simply and does not spend it for devotional service, if he does not engage his senses in the service of the Supreme Lord, and when he is not engaged in the process of hearing and chanting, but engaging in idle talk or prajalpa, the fifth instant is not following the orders of the spiritual master, or having simply an official formal relationship with the spiritual master, being greedy for material attachments and associating with non-devotees. All of this non-devotional tendencies which deviate oneself from the following of the regulative principles are like a slow poisoning effect. And that is why Srila Prabhupada said that one must have this relationship with the spiritual master as the primary relationship. Only then one can have a deeper relationship with one's spiritual master. The fifth reason, which is very significant and was recently addressed by His Holiness Suhota Swami in his Sunday feast lecture, the pride in the heart of a devotee. And once His Holiness Radhanath Swami was mentioning in his class that the other sampradayas or other teachings which we have heard about is that, or when we say about Christianity, that pride comes before a fall. But in case of practicing Krishna consciousness in the parampara, pride comes and there is a fall down. It is simultaneously. It does not come before a fall. It is a fall down when there is pride. So there are many instances that we have to be careful and attentive. So there are many pitfalls on this path of self-realization, and the Srimad Bhagavatam especially addresses how one is entangled in this material existence. The more we understand how we are entangled, what are the pitfalls, the more it becomes safe to tread the journey back home, back to Godhead. So that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself exemplified by his example. And he, when he was asked by the Mayavadis, that led by Prakashananda Saraswati, why don't you study Vedanta? But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru More Murkha Dekhi Korira Shashan. He just told me, you are not qualified to understand and read the Vedanta. You simply chant Hare Krishna and that is enough. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself admitted to a very humble position, so that one will be always free from this pitfall of pride. So herein Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport that this is the cause, and what is the remedy? The living entity is rebellious by nature and does not like to be dependent or subordinate to some other person. And definitely being subordinate is the nature of the conditioned living entity. And Srila Prabhupada was very nicely explaining in one of his lectures that he was explaining a very common mundane example and was beautifully linking it with our practical day-to-day Krishna consciousness. He was explaining the example of woman being subordinate. The woman is always subordinate and dependent. When the lady is, before marriage, she is in the care of her parents. When she is in the care, when she is married, she is in the care of her husband. And when the husband passes away, the woman is always protected by her children. So just as the woman is dependent or subordinate, does not mean that the protectors have to be exploitative. They have to take proper charge and responsibility. Similarly, the Supreme Lord takes the charge of the living entity who is subordinate by nature. It is the nature of the living entity to be subordinate and dependent. Only when it deviates from this subordinate position, there is room for deviation. And that's why it is said that there are two swans in the heart. One is the soul, another is the super soul. And the soul, only when it turns towards the super soul, only then the super soul instructs. And this is explained by Lord Shri Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna was simply trying to become independent in his whims and tried to justify his position as being the knower, as being the having the proper knowledge of what he is able to do in his circumstances. But Lord Shri Krishna didn't instruct the Bhagavad Gita until and unless Arjuna came to that subordinate position. Shishyaste te aham tvam sadhimam prapannam. Only when Arjuna became a surrendered disciple unto Lord Krishna, then the Bhagavad Gita was instructed. So we see that even in a material sense, we require guidance at every step. So why do we reject some kind of guidance when it is given by superiors, devotees, seniors, the spiritual master and the Lord through his teachings in the Bhagavad Gita? Srila Prabhupada explains that even if you want to do a thesis, at least you have to have guidance of three PhD guides. You have to go through certain processes and you have to have your thesis certified and kind of acknowledged through authorities. Then why don't we have every act of our devotional service being put forward for scrutiny before the senior devotees? So this is being subordinate. And once one is subordinate, then one understands this spiritual knowledge clearly. Otherwise, why is there need of an acharya? Because the conditioned living entities cannot follow the path of devotional service very, very rigidly. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, what is the authority of chanting 16 rounds from the Vedic scriptures? We are convinced, but how do we help convince others? That what is the authority for chanting of 16 rounds given in the Vedic literatures? And Srila Prabhupada said that Sankhya Purvaka Namna Gana Gatibhi. That is Sankhya Purvaka. The names have to be in numerical strength. That is the principle. But I have given the detail of chanting minimum 16 rounds. Because that is what you can accomplish. And if not for this instruction, you won't be able to maintain the numerical strength. And that is why one requires an acharya. And that is the meaning of being subordinate. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned in his purport that unless one understands this position of being subordinate has to be understood by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master. Yasya deve para bhaktir yatha deve tatha guru. When one has unflinching faith in one's spiritual master and the Supreme Lord, only then all the purports of and the imports of the Vedic literatures are revealed. And we can see that it is not by academic scholarship or being erudite in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam or giving a very, very, very impressive speech. Is that what counts in spiritual life? It is clearly mentioned that (clears throat) The individual soul has to understand his position by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, because the text of Bhagavad Gita cannot be understood simply by academic qualifications. One has to learn Bhagavad Gita from a realized soul. We have various instances from the Srimad Bhagavatam which prove this fact beyond doubt. The example of Narad Muni. Narad Muni never went to a school or never went to a Gurukul to understand spiritual life. But only when he pleased the Bhakti Vedantis and accepting the remnants from them, he was elevated to the highest position of being the most intimate associate of the Lord and be a great assistant in spreading Krishna consciousness all over. Example of Dhruva Maharaj, just a young lad of 5 years. He was not a scholar, he didn't go to a school, but when the Lord was pleased by his devotional service, by his attitude, the Lord simply placed a conchal on his head and all the teachings, all the imports of the Vedic literatures were revealed. Not only revealed, but he could recite them as they are. So, what does this mean? Not by simply academic qualifications. In fact, whatever we learn or whatever we accept in Krishna consciousness has to be ingrained in our practical day-to-day affairs. And we see that example of Prithu Maharaj, though he was a great king and being a Shaktavish avatar, he took the position of being the humble servant before all the great sages. So education in modern sense is simply information. But in the life of devotee, it is only transformation. Because the information is meant for transformation. And that is why Sanatana Goswami himself took the position of that living entity. Like us, that is, who am I and why am I suffering these threefold miseries of life? He took the position of a soul like you and me and put forward this humble attitude towards Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to express this fact that only by humility and service attitude is all the grace of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master being bestowed upon the disciple. So this is the way that the living entity can come out of this mire of material existence and being understanding his subordinate position. And finally, Narad Muni explains that tad vyabhicharena is also significant, that for it indicates that one, when he is separated from God due to his disobedience, his real sense is lost. And the verse swarajyam, which says that swastha means that one becomes situated in his original position, original consciousness. So we understand that the mood of being dependent, being wonderfully explained by this analogy by Srila Prabhupada, when he explains that even when the child is on the beach and the parents are there, the child is allowed to play, but is allowed to play with restriction. That restriction is for his own welfare. Similarly, even when you see on the beach, on the shores of the ocean, there are guards. There are guards employed by the government to make sure that the people do not transgress their limit and maintain sanctity. For if not present there, the person may fall into great difficulty. So the government or the supreme government of the Supreme Lord gives a kind of organization or kind of a rules of behavior and principles so that the living entity may benefit. And that's why it is not that independence will make some kind of a solution, but real dependence on the Supreme Lord actually is the real independence. And we see the example of Dhruva Maharaj when he was given the great kingdom to rule for 36,000 years. He didn't want that and he regretted his position. For he knew that there is always that chance that he may become again independent from the Supreme Lord, being puffed up by the great favor done to him. And that's why he asked that, please, I withdraw my previous request and I just want to be in the association of your devotees, engage in hearing Krishna Katha. But the Supreme Lord fulfilled his material desire, at the same time gave protection to him. Similarly, the position of the living entity, when one is dependent on the Supreme Lord, the benefit he gets is that he gets protection. He gets protection from the Supreme Lord. And that is the purpose of independence. When one is independent, he is completely free. But that freedom is gained only through protection. Because Devi Esha Guna Mama Maya Duratya. This material world, this material energy of the Supreme Lord is very difficult to surmount. And that is why if one wants protection, and that is real independence, then one must surrender unto the Supreme Lord. And this is how Srila Narad Muni is instructing the living entity to become situated in one's original position. Even what happens when one gets independence, one becomes fearless. Along with the protection, one is also fearless. And this was exemplified in the case of Ajamil. When Ajamil was saved by the Vishnudutas, and when he saw how he was rescued by the Vishnudutas, and when he was fully realized the power of the holy name, he became fearless thereafter. So if one really wants independence, then one has to put oneself under the protection of the Supreme Lord. And today is the most auspicious occasion. There are many occasions. That is the appearance of Srimati Sita Devi, the concert of Lord Sri Ram. Also the appearance of Srimati Janava Devi and the disappearance of Madhu Pandit. Briefly, we'll just try to explain. The position of Sita Devi is that she is the consort of Lord Ram and never separates from her husband. Similarly, the living entity should express one's chastity as being the Prakriti. The living entity is neither male or female. The living entity is supposed to be enjoyed by the Supreme Lord. And that's why the Supreme Lord is the supreme enjoyer and the living entity is the supreme enjoyed. And for this, the living entity does not see one's own enjoyment, but rather sees everything as meant for the enjoyment of the Lord, including oneself. So Srimati Sita Devi was a princess accustomed to royal comforts, but when Lord Ram was banished to the forest for 14 years, she steadfastly followed her husband, being a very chaste wife, voluntarily took up difficulties to follow in the footsteps of her husband. Similarly, the living entity, as being subordinate position to the Supreme Lord, must take up voluntary difficulties in order to execute the process of Krishna consciousness. And like we were having this trek, and I was thinking about making some meaningful activity of this, just walking down up and down the mountain, and was trying to relate something to the teachings which Srila Prabhupada has given. That the walk or the journey to the spiritual kingdom is exactly like climbing a mountain. When one climbs the mountain in the initial phases, it is very simple. But as you go upper and upper, there are more steep slopes, there are more chances of slipping down. And even when we see as some devotees are going to visit Badrinath and Kedarnath, so they are preparing some, and this is where Madan Gopal was preparing for this trek by coming to this trek with us, and he was having various kind of experiences there. And so, but the difference in this trek and the trip to Badrinath will be that there will be less oxygen up there. So even when one climbs the mountain up, up and high, even with the steep slopes, the level of oxygen also decreases. So, there are added difficulties when we rise up in Krishna consciousness. But one must take up voluntary difficulties simply for the pleasure of the Lord. And only by the grace of the Supreme Lord is that one will be able to reach the summit. That is the kingdom of God. And we also see that Sita Devi was very, very chaste in the sense that even when there were so many reversals in the sense that she got news of the false news that Lord Ram had been killed in the battlefield, she didn't dissuade from the position of being the enjoyer of the Supreme Lord. So we see from the example of Sita Devi that within all circumstances in Krishna consciousness, the living entity, the spirit soul, the devotee who remains steadfast in his determination. There were three qualities which Kirti Rajput was telling to me while we were climbing this mountain. Told first is patience. Second is determination. Because even if you have patience, but you don't have determination to go ahead. Many of our students which are accompanied us, just before 10 minutes that we were able to reach the summit, they were about to give up. But what was the enthusiasm? The next step is enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness. That was created by the association of devotees. Because there were 15 of us, the person who was not willing to reach up felt inspired by seeing some other person on the top. If he could do, I also could do. He's just like me. So let me try. So patience, determination and enthusiasm in Krishna consciousness is all possible only in the association of devotees. So in this way we can understand from the meaning of this purport that one has to understand the cause of one's existence in this material world. One should know the process of coming out of this material existence by being subordinate and taking the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the spiritual master, and understand this position by the grace of the Lord. In this way one will gain complete independence. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. If anyone has any comments or questions. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.